12 minutes and 37 seconds. So I'm going to do my best to finish up. You know why? That was a good meal. But as some of you said, after I thought about it for a minute, I'm putting it on the protest. Because y'all set us up for that. You set us up, and then I knew part two was coming. Y'all need to do this more often. You know, I've been married long enough to know that sometimes y'all think circles around this. And you already in tomorrow before we get there. So, hey, good job, ladies. We'll get you back. But it was wonderful meal. But more importantly, I hope you noticed the fellowship that we had together. And it was really fun. I got a bone to pick with Grady because he went from we to y'all about halfway through. We'll talk about that after service. But I won't stick as long. Turn me to Proverbs 15. A little lighthearted lesson. This is something for us to take home. Proverbs 15. Why it's so important for us to keep a merry heart, a happy heart. We have reason to be happy. We have reason to smile. Sometimes a sense of humor is the best thing you can have in life. You know, learn to laugh at things. Even sometimes when you mess up. You know, one of the best abilities about bouncing back is having the ability to laugh at yourself. So sometimes stuff we do is just funny. So just kind of something for us to learn from. And then we're going to talk about a deck of cards in just a second. And it reads this. Verse 13 of Proverbs 15. It says, the merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that understandeth hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. So as Christians, we ought to strive to have a merry heart. That doesn't mean that we overlook some of the troubling things in life, but our overall spirit should be one that's jovial and merry because we serve a risen Christ. We serve a good God. We serve a place that even if this world doesn't get any better, we got a place that we know is a lot better than what we're dealing with now. But it's just a set of mind. I'm just going to look at a little devotional I found. It's called Kids Wisdom. And then we're going to learn some lessons from a deck of cards, and the lesson will be yours. Sometimes kids say some of the funniest stuff. So, you know, one of the things I learned just from working with young folks, sometimes they're brutally honest, and sometimes some of the stuff they say is just hilarious. So here's a few things that somebody who decided to interview a kid asked them what they had learned so far in their life. Rule number one is this. When your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, please don't answer. Point number two, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Point number three, please, at all costs, stay away from prunes. Point number four, never let your three-year-old brother in the same room as your school assignment. Rule number five, I like this one. If you want a kitten, start out by first asking for a horse. Another one is, felt tip markers are not good to use as lipstick. Another point is this. Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. And I like this last one. When you get a bad grade in school, show it to your mom while she's on the phone. You got to time it right. You got to time it right. Just have this little merry heart. But this one, I saw this and I was like, this is pretty neat. You ever thought about a deck of cards? You ever thought about how we can learn God's lessons from anything in life that we look for? So we're going to learn some lessons from a deck of cards and what they mean. For example, one. You know, you usually have a one in the deck, right? Or two. An ace, rather. That's what I want to say. An ace. You don't have a one, an ace. It should remind us that there is only one God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Let's start with the two. The two represents the two parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament. Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 7. Three, of course, represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Four stands for the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Five. It's for the five virgins that were wise and prepared when the bridegroom came. Six is for the 6 days it took God to create the heavens and the earth. 7 is for the day God rested after making his creation. 8 is for the family of Noah and his wife, their three sons and their wives, the 8 people God spared from the flood that destroyed the earth. 9 is for the lepers that Jesus cleansed of leprosy. He cleansed 10, but 9 never even took time to thank him. 10 represents the 10 commandments that God had handed down to Moses on tablets made of stone. The jack is a reminder of Satan, not the joker of eternal hell. The queen could in many points represent Mary, who was chosen to bring our Savior into this world. And of course, the last, the king, stands for Jesus, for he is King of all kings. When I count all the dots on the card, think about this now, I come up with 365, one for every day of the year. There was a total of 52 cards in a deck, which represents one for each week. The 4 suits represent the 4 seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. Each suit has 13 cards. There are exactly 13 weeks and a quarter. So when I want to talk to God and thank him, and sometimes when I think that God hadn't been good to me, just pull out a deck of cards. You can find blessings in God in everything. We serve a merciful God. We serve an awesome God. And part of the reason why we make a merry heart is remembering things like this. You know, we as Christians, we're the most blessed folks. I ain't going to say some of the most blessed. We're the most blessed folks on earth. Don't let money fool you. Don't let big houses fool you. Don't let all those things fool you. Church, we're going somewhere. We're not here. We're pilgrims, sojourners, just passing through. We're not meant to stay, and I'm so glad. As some of you know, I said that I used to say what my dad used to say. He used to tell me stuff like this: "Son, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to bury the last undertaker." Now, that got to me for a minute. I was like, what does that mean? That means you're the last one on earth. Undertakers ain't going nowhere. That's business. But I also know that as I grow older, I'm one day closer, and you are as well, to Jesus coming back. Or if nothing else, putting off this earthly tabernacle. We need to learn to value each and every day. Enjoy every day. I know some days has its rough spots. But if you have a bad moment, don't make it a bad day. You don't have to. You choose to make it a bad day. And we have too much to be happy for, to be merry for, to be joyful for. I'll say that, because joy comes from within. So a little lesson like this kind of reminds us. One of those days when you're feeling down, just think about what it represents. One of those days when you plan a friendly game of whatever your game is, Uno, or even spades, or bridge, or whatever it is, look at the numbers and it means something. It means that, could mean that we serve an awesome God. We serve a God who loves us beyond measure. And one of the things I'm learning in closing is, you got to slow down and smell the roses sometime. As I said last week, I think sometimes we get so busy living, we forget to live. Don't be so hurried, you know. When you're young, all you want to do is be grown. I want to be grown. Make my own decision. Well, that's overrated. Number one. Way overrated. Thank you. And then you want to get up, move on in career, and then sooner or later, you're in the middle of life. And you realize you got more days behind you than you got before you. And then finally, I think, from knowing our beautiful folks here, you kind of get it towards the end of life. And you learn to really slow down and enjoy it. You learn to value people. You learn to value times. You learn to treasure all of those things. You learn to live every moment. You know, one of the things I have to think about, because y'all know me, I'm an open book. I got a speeding problem sometime on the road. I got a little lead foot, so. But sometimes the thing that slows me down, I don't work all the time, because I'm in a hurry sometimes. Think about the fact that maybe these folks ain't in a hurry to get nowhere. Now, I said that not to be funny, but maybe they're just taking time to soak it all in. Maybe I should do the same thing, too. I'm working on it, so y'all keep praying for me in that area. But sometimes it really does. I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe this person is just taking time to enjoy the conversation. Maybe they're for that version, talking to God on the way. Maybe they're just enjoying life. So I need to learn to do that as well. Told you I could do it. It's 1:38. Look at that. Look at Yana. Who was that, Lewis? You said you're going to keep me on the watch. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. That'll be the best decision you ever made. There's a lot of great things that happened in my life. My wife, my kids, still don't compare the day I gave my soul to Jesus. And I love my family dearly. And oh my goodness, that's the best decision I ever made. Second best was my wife, then my kids. But the best decision I ever made was obeying the gospel. And that's the way it should be for all of us. But guess what? When that is your best decision, you'll learn to treasure all the other things God blesses you with. He's number one that puts everything in perspective. And that's our job. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or even Christ's special prayer, we ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of 589. 589.